Let us turn to consider a few words in the Word of God that we will find in the first epistle of Peter, the first epistle of Peter, and in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we can read just now from verse 7 of the chapter. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And especially let us look at words that we will find in part of verse 9, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and especially an holy nation, a peculiar people. In this verse we have various descriptions of the children of God, those who are the Lord's people. Peter is describing here those who believe. This word is addressed to those who love the Lord. But ye, in contrast to they, and to them which be disobedient in verse 7, the stone which the builders disallowed, this is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, of course, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and so on. They were appointed to that disobedience. But ye, this is, as we look back to the beginning of this epistle, chapter 1, verse 2, those who are the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who are the elect, chosen of God, called of God, sanctified through the obedience of Christ, through the sanctification of the Spirit, rather, and by the obedience of Christ, made righteous. What great privileges there are that belong to such, as they are pointed out to us in this verse that we are looking at this evening, in chapter 2, verse 9. Started this verse with, ye are a chosen generation. And some time ago we looked at these first two descriptions. A chosen generation, those chosen of God to be generated by God, to be given that new birth, to be born again by the Spirit of God. Chosen of God not because of anything in themselves, but of his mere good pleasure. Chosen in our sin, in our iniquity, chosen in our disobedience, chosen when we deserved to be cast off, just as these others that were spoken of in these previous verses were. Chosen when we fully deserved that, but God, in his mercy, in his great loving kindness towards us, not for any reason, not for anything in ourselves, but entirely of his good pleasure, he chose such to be born again by his Spirit, to be given that spiritual life, to be his people. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a priesthood of those who have access to God, those who can come to him, those who bring sacrifices of praise in the New Testament sacrifices, those who bring our sacrifice of our lives to him in delight and in pleasure in order to serve him and to do his will. But not merely priests, but a royal priesthood. Royal because those whom he has chosen, those to whom he has given that new birth, are not merely slaves, not even merely servants of the Lord, but the very children of God, chosen to be adopted into the household of God, as it were, with all the privileges and benefits that belong to that, including the privileges and benefits that belong to those who are the children of the King. Not merely a king, but the King of Kings. A royal priesthood. You may be so familiar with these words that we tend to take them for granted sometimes, instead of thinking about what they really mean and the privileges that belong to the Lord's people, as they are described here. But let us look particularly this evening at these next two descriptions of those who love the Lord. They are a holy nation and a peculiar people. A holy nation. And then here we have those who love the Lord viewed, as it were, en masse, viewed as a whole, as a mighty army, as a great number, described as a nation. And the word that is used here has the idea of a great multitude. A great multitude with something in common. A great nation. A large number of people with something in common. That is what believers are, those who truly love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are a great nation. Not merely a few oddities, a few individuals here and there. As we look around and we see so few attending the house of God, so many hastening in their own ways to a lost eternity. Don't be discouraged. Remember that the Lord's people are a mighty army. The great hosts of heaven. The great hosts, those who have gone before. Those who are alive at this time. In different parts of the world. In different situations. Perhaps with different, different beliefs with regard to secondary things. But who truly love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and who are trusting in him alone for the forgiveness of their sin, and looking to him alone, seeking to serve him as they are enabled by his grace. A mighty number. Remember Elijah? Elijah cast down, thinking he alone was left. He had to be reminded that there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee. How often we are like Elijah was at that time. Think how few are left. What is going to happen? The cause of Christ appears to be dying. But we need to remember the one who is alive and alive forevermore is the one who is in charge, the one who is in control, and the one who is working his purposes out. And though his cause upon the earth, as far as his numerical strength may be, may wax and wane from time to time, yet his arm is not shortened that it cannot save. He is the one that is almighty. There is a great multitude of those who truly love the Lord. But this multitude is not only much in number, But they are a great multitude, as we mentioned before, that have something in common. And they have much in common. A common ancestry, a chosen generation. The Lord's people have that in common. As far as their physical birth is concerned, maybe quite different. Different backgrounds, different nationalities, different coloured skins even. Different circumstances, different situations, but born again by the grace of God, by the power of God, and given that spiritual life, so that despite all the outward differences, there is this great similarity that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, all the children of God. Those who love the Lord are born of God. Ah, this chosen generation. There are those who have common attitudes. There are differences, obviously. But there is so much with regard to the attitudes of the Lord's people that we have in common. Because they are shaped by God. As He works that work of sanctification in the lives of His people. There are these desires that are brought to fruitfulness in the lives of the Lord's people. Desires for His glory, for His praise. Desires for the advancement of His kingdom. A desire to do His will, a desire to please Him. A desire to glorify His name. A desire that others would glorify His name. Common attitudes. Common government, common laws, given by Christ, because He is the King, the mediatorial King. He is the one who has revealed in the Word of God how we should live. He has given us His example. Far more, of course, than an example has He given us. But He has still given us an example how we should live. He has revealed in His Word what He delights in. He delights in that which is right, that which is in accordance with the law. And those who truly love the Lord have this in common, this common government, this common revelation, this common law from God, this common revelation of how He wants us to live. That common revelation in the Scriptures. We have that in common as well, of course, the Word of God. In different languages, perhaps. Some with more than one language that we can read, that you can read the Word of God in. But it is the Word of God, the Word that God has given to us, to His people, to all of His people. We have that in common. That revelation from Him. We have a common hope. What is the hope of the Lord's people? We don't have that in common with the world. What is the hope of the world? It's to get through life, to do the best that they can in life. The hope of the Lord's people is to be with Christ. To be with Christ, which is far better. The full enjoying of God to all eternity. That is their hope. That is the hope that shall be achieved. That is where the Lord's people shall be united together at last before the throne of God. With that common purpose. That common looking for to be with Him. And the common end, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God. That is the desire of the Lord's people. To glorify Him. To praise Him in our lives, in our words, in all that we are and in all that we do. The desire that He would be praised. And a common service. A desire to serve Christ. a desire to do his will. Not out of a sense of duty, but because we know that is what he delights in. And because we want to do that which he delights in. We want to do that which is pleasing to God. That is what is common to the Lord's people. That is something, again, that is common to the Lord's people. A desire to please him. And from that, a desire to serve him and to do his will. So much that the Lord's people have in common then. In this nation of the Lord's people, as it were. And all because there is this at the root of it all. Because the Lord's people have in common a love to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ himself. A recognition of something of what he has done. A recognition of something of what it meant for the Lord to suffer and to die in our place. And what he has achieved for us. And that love that was demonstrated there. And in response to that, we love him because he first loved us. Do you have this in common with the Lord's people? Do you share this with those who love the Lord? Do you have that love to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? And from that, do you have that common ancestry with the Lord's people? Common attitudes? Governed by the same laws? The same revelation in the Scriptures? With the same hope? And the same purpose? The same service, because we have the same love to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But this nation is a holy nation. A nation that is separated, set apart to be fit to be with God. A nation, as we have seen, chosen of God. A nation separated from worldliness, separated from the world to some extent. We're not immediately separated from the world. We are not taken out of the world. By nature we are of the world. But in our, those who are born again are not no longer of the world, still in the world, but not of the world. By nature, we were in the world and of the world. With the world's philosophy, the world's ideas, the whole way of thinking that the world has. But now we see that spiritual realm. Now we see those spiritual realities. There is spiritual life so that we are spiritually minded. We must confess that there is so much of the world still in our minds. So much of the world still in our lives. So much of the world still in our hearts. We must confess these things continually. But yet there is that life in the Spirit. There is that spiritual understanding to some extent. The whole basis of our ideas, our aims, our standards are different, or ought to be different at least, from those around us. We are being prepared by God to be with him. Our sin prevents us from being with him as we are. We need that to be dealt with. We need to be cleansed. We need our sin removed. We need to be taught in the ways of righteousness. We need to be sanctified as well as justified in order to be fit to be with Christ. That needs to be removed. Our sin needs to be removed by Christ. Not only imputing his righteousness in justification, but imparting his righteousness in sanctification. And so this nation of those who love the Lord are a holy nation, separated from the world because of obedience to the Lord and righteousness in life. Not perfect by any means in this life, but being sanctified, being made perfect to be with Him. Are you separated by God from the world? Still in the world? But are you of the world as well as in the world? Or are you in the world, but yet of Christ? Looking to His righteousness, being prepared to be with Him forever. Ye are a holy nation. What a privilege, what a joy, what a wonderful reality that belongs to each and every child of God as part of this holy nation. And Peter goes on to describe the Lord's people as a peculiar people. In describing His people as a holy nation, it speaks of the nation, as it were, en masse. But here, this description speaks of the Lord's people, stressing the individuality. A peculiar people. Each one, each individual, important in the eyes of God. The ruler of a nation upon the earth may think of the nation as a huge mass. They know a few of the nation, a few of the subjects of that nation as individuals. But the vast majority will not be known in any particular sense to the governors, to the ruler of the nation. But in this mighty nation, in this huge nation of those who love the Lord knows and cares for each individual. He knows everything about each one of us. He cares for every detail of each one of us, every detail of our lives, of you and of me as individuals. This is one who loves and cares and knows for each one. But this people is described as a peculiar people. Now, this doesn't particularly mean odd, though it may seem to the world that those who love the Lord are a peculiar people in that sense. They may seem to be very odd at times to those who have no understanding of the things of God. What it means here is one that is possessed, a people that are possessed. This is a people that is purchased. Each one individually purchased by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Purchased by the shedding of His blood. That infinite price that was paid there on the cross of Calvary, in order that we would be purchased in accordance with His eternal plan, His eternal decree, that we as an individual, not merely by chance, but specifically purchased by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we belong to Him. We are peculiar, different, separated, odd in a sense, in that sense that we belong to the Lord. Those who are not the Lord's people, of course, do not belong to Him. They are His in a general sense. They are His by creation, but not by this glorious work of redemption. not purchased by the Saviour on the cross of Calvary. This is what separates us from the world. This is what makes those who love the Lord, those who truly believe upon Him, different. Perhaps odd in the sight of the world, because we don't join in all their pleasures and all their excesses. Because we have a different purpose. Because we have different desires, different delights. We may indeed seem to be peculiar, but to those who have that true wisdom that is the wisdom of God, it is not peculiar in that sense, but it is delightful. What about yourself then this evening? The time is passing. Are you possessed by the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Have you been purchased by His blood shed on the cross of Calvary? Have you come to see the preciousness of that? The preciousness of that evidencing of His love. His love towards you. Have you come to see that for yourself? Have you come to delight in the work of the Lord, realizing that without that you will be utterly helpless and utterly hopeless, without God and without hope in the world? Have you come to see something of these wonderful privileges that belong to those who love the Lord? Separated from the world, separated for better things. Or are you still loving the world, delighting in the things of the world? Are you holy, seeking to be Christ-like? Or as we look at ourselves, not as holy as we ought to be, far from it. Where is the image of Christ in us so difficult to see? But is that what we are seeking after? Is that what we are desiring, that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ would be seen in our lives, would be seen even in our faces? Is that what we are seeking after? If so, let us rejoice in that. That though that work of sanctification may appear to be going far slower than we would like it to be going, yet let us rejoice that that work is going apace. That those who love the Lord are being prepared to be with Him forever. And are enabled by His grace, weak and fallible though we are, to serve Him in this world. If you are not seeking that for yourself, see what it is that you are missing. If you do not love the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, you are not part of this chosen generation. You are not one of this royal priesthood. You are not part of this holy nation, this peculiar purchased people. You have no part in that. And when the time comes when you will be called to account, where will you be? What hope will you have? Any hope that you have will be useless. You'll be cast out into the outer darkness. But those who love the Lord are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of that darkness into His marvelous light. May the Lord grant that that would be true of each one of us this evening, and that we would each one of us be able to rejoice in that for ourselves.